Hello, this is Lewis.
And this is Ian.
And welcome to 101 Films You Should Have Seen.
Probably.
So how have you been up? Well, how have you been up to this week?
How have I been up to? I've been up pretty good.
Oh, good.
I've been all right. Seen any good films?
I've seen, right?
Are you forgetting the English language? What's going on?
I've just had a really big slice of carrot cake. I think it's messed with my brain.
Well, that's what's happened, actually. It's been your birthday. We won't give your age away. That's rude. You never say a woman's age.
18 again.
But, it's your birthday, and we've just had some carrot cake to celebrate. So we're all a bit...
I'm hyped on carrot cake. There was a lot of icing.
There was a lot of icing. I don't know what effect it's having on me. I'm either getting excited or solidifying. One of the two.
Okay, good. I saw a couple of films. I saw Le Havre.
Foreign. Yeah.
You can tell from the name.
Yeah.
Which was odd. I was expecting it. It's about an immigrant who kind of finds his way to Le Havre.
Right.
And is trying to make his way to back into the UK to start a new life.
Yeah.
And I kind of imagined, when I heard about it, I thought, oh, it'd be like some sort of gritty documentary about the horrors of immigration and social conscience. And it turns out it's just a kind of witty Amelie-like film.
Oh, really?
It was quite bizarre.
Okay.
It was quite strange.
So, enjoyable?
It was okay. I mean, it bills itself as like a comedy, but it really isn't very funny.
Is that just an accident of the fault of the person, the studio pushing it? Like, oh, the only way we're going to get people to see this is by saying it's a comedy.
Yeah, it's not really.
It's probably more like a light-hearted drama.
Yeah, it's just quirky, really.
Yeah.
And I saw In My Father's Den, which is a New Zealand film.
Wow, all big blockbusters so far.
I know, exactly.
Too commercial.
I know, I should really stop watching all these superhero films. it's about a man who goes back for his father's funeral in New Zealand.
Oh, God.
Yeah, not a cheery film.
I saw The Wicker Man again.
Again.
Over the weekend.
Just can't stop watching that film, can you?
Yeah, it's a so-so film saved by just a brilliant ending. I won't spoil the ending, just in case no one knows it. That's true, some people might not. But it's worth watching. But there's a lot of... I forget how much singing there is and how many songs. A lot of folk music. It's the first folk horror. It's weird. Now to move on to this week's film.
Okay, not quite as a cheery as that opening.
No.
So this week we're doing Downfall.
Yeah, about the horrors of the end of the Second World War, in Hitler's
bunker.
Hitler's bunker in the dying days of literally the last week, 2 weeks of Hitler's life.
Already, that we can feel the mood is sunk on this.
It's going to be a tricky one to talk in our light and our patented 101 Films light-hearted manner about a film which is about...
101 Films, non-stop banter.
One of the worst, if not the worst, people of the 20th century. So this is the first film, one of the rare films where he is completely at the centre. He is the main character in this film. Would you like to do the pitch? Again, this is going to be a tricky one to do a jokey, lighthearted pitch for Downfall.
Oh, God. Downfall, not the MB game. that's about as lighthearted as I can get it.
That's how it started and then went from there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you were thinking of that nice little kind of kaplunk type thing where you turn the... It's not that.
In a world where they can make a film out of battleships, I think it is an important distinction to make.
It's true.
I think both of us thought... This was an incredible film.
It is an amazing film. You have to watch it if you haven't seen it. It's really phenomenal.
It's a film I'd seen. It was one of my recommendations. Mm. And we've had a couple of other people recommend it to us as well. Names to hand, we don't have them.
But, you know who you are.
But it's certainly been recommended once or twice. And as you say, it's not an easy watch.
No. And it's quite long as well. I didn't quite realise how long it was when I put it on.
Yeah.
But it's gripping. Yeah. Absolutely gripping. Really fantastic film.
Yeah.
I can't praise it highly enough.
In a strange way, this is not the best analogy simply because this analogy is used in a negative way, but it's almost like watching a car crash in the sense that you can't take your eyes off it. You know what's going to happen.
Mm.
You know, well, I mean, I don't know, perhaps not everyone does know, but I knew enough of the history to know what was coming up.
Yeah, I mean,
you just couldn't help but watch the whole awful thing unfold.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't actually know much at all about the actual events around the kind of last dying days of the war. So it was quite, you know, interesting to kind of see it from that side. I knew Hitler dies. Spoiler alert, Hitler dies.
He does die.
But other than that, I really didn't know anything about that.
Yeah.
And some of it's quite horrific, some of the stuff that went on.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll carry on talking about that in a minute, but perhaps let's get the trivia quiz out of the way.
Okay, let's do the trivia quiz.
Trivia quiz, trivia quiz, trivia quiz. The one quiz to rule them all.
Okay, question one. When Himmler talks about meeting Eisenhower to discuss surrender, what's his initial concern?
I do know this song. It's whether he should give a Hitler salute Or give a kind of American salute.
Well, a handshake.
Or handshake, yeah.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Isn't that amazing? I thought that was so interesting, actually, because that little throwaway comment just shows how deluded they all are.
Yeah, completely nuts.
Yeah, that they still think they're necessary or needed, that in any way they... Because there's almost a sense of like, oh, well, yeah, we've lost the war, but yeah, what we've done isn't that bad. They'll still need us. We'll still be around after the war.
Yeah, absolutely craziness.
Yeah.
Okay, question two, easy one. What's the name of Hitler's dog?
Oh, Blondie?
Yes, that's right, Blondie. Blondie the German Shepherd. Okay, question number three. it's slightly off topic, this one. Hitler appeared in at least two episodes of Red Dwarf. Name one.
Oh my God. Okay, right. Okay, he appears in... Is it Time Slides?
Yes, that's right. That's
wow.
Right.
And what was the other one? Oh, and... Okay, the other one is Wax World. Wax?
That's right, yeah, Wax World.
Wow.
No bonus points.
Okay, my questions. Question one. Name two other films where Hitler has appeared as a character.
Indiana Jones and... Well, Raiders of the Lost Ark, sorry.
He
gives him a medal. It's when Indiana Jones is dressed. Oh no, it's Last Crusade.
No, it's Last Crusade.
Last Crusade.
He doesn't give him a medal. He signs his book.
He signs the diary.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, I got there in the end.
Okay. One. The
okay,
second one.
One. Oh, Hitler's been in like every film ever.
Yeah, that's true. He was in Toy Story, wasn't he?
Don't play with my mind. Okay. Oh,
I'm gonna have to hurry you.
I can't think of any. I don't know, my mind's gone blank.
Okay.
It's the carrot cake.
I'll give you half a point for The Last Crusade.
It's
you
not
could
a
have had
question.
It is a tricky one. Other than that, there aren't actually many films where he plays as a character, but he's represented or is there are versions of him in things like The Producers. There is someone who plays Hitler.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
The Boys from Brazil.
There are
loads of clones of Hitler.
That's right.
There are a few, but there aren't that many, actually. He doesn't appear in as many as you would perhaps think.
Yeah, he's always popping up in Red Dwarf.
Well, two separate episodes.
That's it.
All right, well, that was a long question. Question two. Now... One of the most famous things about this particular film is that a section of it has been turned into a viral video.
I've not seen any of these.
Oh, haven't you?
No.
Oh. You probably won't know the answer to this. You might have read it under the trivia bit.
Okay.
Because there's a section, or the part of the film where Hitler basically has his first major rant. He sort of flips out for the first time and just rants and rants and rants at the people in his office. And this has been taken, and I'm sure most of you have seen it on YouTube. What was the subject of the very first parody? What was the first one about?
Avatar.
No? Okay, well, that's incorrect. It was actually, he was supposed to be banned from Xbox Live. That was the first subject. This is according to, I think, Internet Movie Database, but still.
Right.
Hopefully you'll get this. What connects Downfall and Resident Evil?
Is there a board game of both of them?
God. Well, this is a you've had a shocking round here.
I think you've just made hard questions. No, Resident Evil.
Resident Evil.
Hitler was in Resident Evil.
The Resident Evil films and Downfall were written by the same person.
Oh, come on.
Come on, I thought you would have just done a little research.
Of course.
Bernd Eschinger. Eschinger.
He wrote that rubbish.
He wrote Resident Evil and he wrote, I think, the first two or three Resident Evil films. He's dead now, so yay. So show some respect.
Right, this has been a shocker.
So, half a point.
Oh, you've totally nobbled me on this one.
I don't think so. I don't think they were
I gave you easy questions.
Yeah, that's just because you couldn't think of any questions.
I tried to keep it a bit lighthearted. You're wading in there.
Hey, my backup question was a question about Operation Clausewitz. Clausewitz.
I don't even know what that is.
Well, that was the operation to defend Berlin. They mentioned it several times in the film.
You know a lot about the war. I'm not saying anything.
Well, my three questions were nothing to do with the war. That's why I avoided the historical one. Because you're an idiot and you don't know anything. Right, move on.
We're going to fall out if you're not careful. Operation Clausewitz.
Do you know who he was? That was the question. Named after Karl von Clausewitz. He wrote on war. It's like he was a Napoleonic Prussian general. He's quite famous.
In what, Prussia?
No, in history. I did it in A-level history. What did you do in A-level history?
I can't remember. I think I did Napoleon.
Well, he was quite important.
Right, okay.
An element of tension. Who thought talking about Downfall would have created an element of tension? So, moving on. I mentioned it about my first question about Hitler being in films. Yeah, it is interesting how he's not a character that's used that often. Do you find that strange? I mean, why? Because when I actually looked into it, when I came up with that question, I was like, oh, there's probably loads of films. Mm-hmm. And I also, first of all, straight away, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Mm. But then I don't know what my work will think, because I typed into Google Hitler and films into Google. And there weren't that many. It was more, there were more like versions of it, like analogies to Hitler, or kind of he had cameo roles.
Yeah,
there's not
yeah.
really him. I think actually in many ways Downfall was one of the first films to feature him as the main character.
Yeah, it's interesting though, isn't it? I mean, books, I think he crops up loads in books. I can think of quite a few.
All your Hitler books?
All my Hitler books. Yeah, the Life of Hitler, Hitler's Last Days, Hitler's Dog. But I mean, like in fiction books, there's a whole, you know, version, a whole genre of fiction that is dedicated to all kind of alternative history.
And he's
pretty much de rigueur in any of those books.
Yeah, true.
So I suppose in literature he crops up quite a lot.
In a funny way, that's actually true. There's not actually many alternate history films.
No.
Is there? No. It seems that's a really sizable chunk of... there's a lot of science fiction books which are just completely devoted to that.
Mm.
But, I think there's one or two, but there's not many.
No, it seems odd.
It does seem strange in a way, doesn't it? Now I've said it out loud. But maybe it's just the horror of it is too much. I mean... Mm. Yeah, me and you, Lewis, we were born, 79, 80. Yeah. We were born only 35 years after the Second World War ended, which doesn't sound that long, does it?
There's no.
Not much of a gap, but no. We were still far enough removed where the war is, we have grandparents who fought in it, but we are removed from it.
Mm.
Yeah, we don't have the... It's not a real thing as much, perhaps, to us.
No, it's true. And I'm sure for kids growing up nowadays, it must just seem like ancient history.
Yeah.
Which is why it's important that, they watch films like Downfall just to kind of realise what it was like, because it was just absolutely horrendous. I mean, it's difficult for us to imagine now, like, what it was like in that time. But one of the good things that Downfall does is it kind of bookends the film with some documentary footage of Traudl Jünger,
The secretary. We should say that a lot of the film, she's kind of like the, the representative of the audience, isn't she? She's
yeah.
a young girl, quite a pretty girl, played by Alexandra Maria Lara, very attractive young lady.
Yeah, and she's the innocent kind of the innocent who's let into the lion's den almost, you know. She kind of goes in there willingly, but in her little documentary sequence, she says, you know, being young was no excuse. You know, I should have realised what was going on, and I should have kind of done something about it or left or whatever.
Yeah. Well, that's the interesting, because the film starts with her being interviewed by Hitler to become his secretary, and he's shown as a kind of slightly kind of playful, charming guy. In that opening section.
It's that great line, what is it? I always make mistakes when I'm dictating. Now, I'm not sure if that was a joke or not, but it was pretty
funny.
You know,
I didn't even notice that. Yeah, that's very true, yeah.
But yeah.
And then you sort of see, you kind of, yeah, they flit around a few different characters. There's a doctor, who was the Minister for Armaments, and but she's sort of the main focus,
seen from her point of view, and I think a lot of it was based on the book she wrote after the war as well, about, you know, life in Hitler's bunker.
Yeah, but that was the thing, because you do get, you kind of sort of root for her by the end, don't you? You're on her side, you're hoping she's going to escape the advancing Soviet army, and then it ends, and then she basically says, yeah, I was just as guilty. And you sort of, there is a funny kind of feeling of like, oh, I've just been rooting for a Nazi, essentially.
Yeah. It's a very powerful film. It kind of makes you think on so many different levels. Just, you know, in one scene you end up kind of regarding, oh, well, actually, you know, they were human too. And then the next scene it's like, okay, they're just doing horrific things. And it's really powerful in the sense that it shows you, yeah, okay, these people were people, you know, they're not just kind of one-dimensional archetypes, like, you know, some crazy Saturday morning cartoon villain, you know, they were people, but they just did horrific things, and it kind of invites you to try and understand why that happened.
Well, I always, because there is this debate about whether, you know, the Hitler in particular, or any kind of high-ranking Nazi, should ever be shown in any way as human beings, whether they should be regarded as monsters. But I think there is, And I really disagree with that, because they weren't monsters. They were people. Yeah, and the thing is, someone like that, the next time they come along, they won't be wearing jack boots. They won't be ranting, raving. They'll dress themselves up in a different way, and they'll believe in the same thing, and they'll want to do the same thing. But they won't be like. And if people only start to see, if people think, oh, right, he's not a Nazi because he's not doing those things. He's not wearing his jack boots. He's not like doing the Hitler salute. So he can't be. Yeah, they'll always dress them up the right. I think it's actually important to realise, yes, they can be charming. Yes, they can be mesmerising. Yes, they can do the things that convince you that they're right, but they're wrong, and you've got to be on the lookout for them.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, that's the thing. One of the things the film does really well is it shows just what a magnetic personality Hitler had. Yeah, he drew people in. You know, he could just kind of almost mesmerise people, like you said. It's just one of those things. People fell under his spell almost, and just kind of.
Sounds like you got a crush on Hitler there.
Thanks for bringing my point down there. I was making a very.
No, I know. I completely agree. Yeah, the fact that people were taken in by him.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing, is like, one of the most interesting things is by the end of the film, he is just a completely broken madman.
Yeah.
Fantasizing about armies that don't exist anymore. Completely away from, and you're just looking at, how is anyone taken in by this command?
Yeah.
How did anyone follow this nutcase?
What's even more fascinating is the reaction of the generals and ministers after Hitler kind of says, okay, well, that's it. Do whatever you want. We failed or whatever.
Yeah.
And just seeing them fall apart and just going, you know, who's going to be the next Führer? It's like, there is no next Führer. He is the Führer kind of thing. And they just completely lost.
Yeah,
and then there's this kind of division as well between the fanatical kind of Nazi ministers like Goebbels and the pragmatic generals who are just, they're just, you know, they're just soldiers.
Yeah,
and they've always been soldiers, and they've just been part of the regime because that was the government.
But, yeah.
So yeah, it was a real fascinating kind of vacuum, power vacuum towards the end.
Yeah, it's a really interesting period of history, of course. And I think it is, I suppose. What was very interesting about it is just seeing a German take on it, I guess.
Yes, yeah, because it's been kind of taboo for that portrayal in Germany. They, you know, there's very strict laws against Nazi. Well,
I think he was the Bruno Hans.
Bruno Ganz.
He was the first German speaking actor to portray Hitler.
Yeah, that's right.
And he does an amazing job.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal performance. It really has to be seen to be believed.
Yeah. Just the way, you know, the way you see him at the beginning of the film, where he does seem in command of himself and, yeah, completely controlled. And then by the end of the film, a kind of shaking, you know, hunched, small madman. What do you feel is perhaps the strongest scene of the film?
One of my favourite scenes is the scene that really sticks out in my mind. It's the one where Eva Braun just kind of runs through the bunker and says, let's have a party.
Oh, yeah.
At this point, the Soviet shells are raining down all across the city. And she just kind of storms in this cocktail dress and gets everyone up. Come on, let's have a party, you know. And then they all go upstairs into the big dining room and they're all kind of dancing on tables and stuff like that, and then a shell just blows out all the windows and everyone's covered in rubble.
Yeah.
And I think that scene really just pictures the kind of madness and eccentricity, like, of what was going on. The denial, you know, that it was happening. Like, everyone thought National Socialism would last forever, and here it was in its dying days, and no one was ready to accept that it was over.
Yeah.
And all the generals as well, you know, later in the film they're saying, you know, well, we're going to fight to the death, we're not going to surrender, you know, we're never going to surrender like we did, like happened in, you know, the First World War.
Yeah, First World War, yeah.
So, yeah, it's that, but that scene, I think, really sums it up, the madness of the final days.
I think for me, I mean, I wouldn't use the term favourite scene, but I think it's probably the most powerful scene is where Maria Goebbels murders her children.
Oh, yeah.
That is
difficult
to hard
watch.
Yeah. She drugs them and then literally goes around. And she's got five children.
Yeah.
And she murders each one with a cyanide capsule and puts it in their mouth and then closes their mouth. And you hear the crunch of the glass in each of their mouths.
It doesn't pull any punches.
No,
it shows you every single one.
Yeah.
And
to me, that represents the absolute insanity that this woman is murdering her children because she can't bear to live in a world where there's no Hitler or no National Socialism.
Absolutely craziness.
And you think, how can someone be so twisted? You know, what's gone on there? You know, what's happened? You know, how can anyone be so deluded and mad to do that to their own children?
I know. It's like, how on earth did they get to that point?
But it's a heart. I mean, when I was watching the cinema, especially like, I had to look away. Mm. You could hear the only sound is the sound of the crunch on the cyanide capsules. It's grim. It really is.
Yeah. And sadly, I could easily see something like Hitler happening again. You know.
On that bombshell.
I know.
warning from history.
When you look at the kind of situation that led up to that kind of the whole of World War II and, you know, Hitler rising to power, you know, you could see that in many countries around the world today, right? You know, economic depression and just kind of...
There are always small, petty men who want to take control and make other people's lives a misery. There will always be those people. And it just takes the right circumstances and for those particular men to just have enough nous or enough charisma to take charge.
Exactly.
And you're always going to be on the lookout for them.
So there we go. They should show Downfall in Schools.
I'm sure they do. I think it's an important... Yeah, definitely.
And importantly, it gives history teachers a couple of periods off.
Yeah, it's all history teachers.
And history teachers, they work too hard.
They do.
They work too hard.
Well, obviously not in your school.
No. You just watch Blackadder Goes Forth. That's pretty much history.
Yeah, we did that as well. Well, that brings us to the end. With that warning, chilling warning from 101 Films to always be on the lookout against the rise of fascism, Nazism and other autocratic evildoers.
Like Magneto?
Yes, like Magneto.
Well, things are looking up next week because we're doing a film about the end of the world. So, you know, more cheery stuff.
Yes. So look forward to that.
Good night. Yeah. God bless.
Yes, just listen to we'll listen to some Churchill spit wartime speeches, build up our morale. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye. got to the stage where we said New Zealand so often, it's becoming meaningless.
I'm going to go
weird. New Zealand.